Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. We'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. D, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We thank God. Bless us to see another Thursday. I know we had some storms and tornadoes and all kind of weather events happening this afternoon, but I thank God it's calmed down and we're able to get on the line. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G., it's been another interesting week watching the Lord do his thing, and we thank God that it was an old talk show, spirituals talk show, where they said about the news, and it says that the world's news is ever changing, but the good news of God never changes.
And we
find that to be so true in today's world, that it's always news, is always changing, always changing, but the good news of Jesus stays the same, and that he died for the sins of the world, but he didn't just stay in the grave, but he got up, and God raised him from the dead with all power in his hand, and that's the good news.
Yes, it
is. And we thank God for that message, that it has resonated from the moment he was resurrected until today. And that's the good news, that in spite of what we see, what we hear every week, day after day, of the onslaught of man's shortcomings, we can always counter that with the good news of Jesus. And we just thank God that he is an awesome God, and that he's a God for every generation. And, you know,
right.
The title of our Bible study is There's Nothing New Under the Sun, and how the Word of God can relate to the actions or the things that are going on in the world today. That even though the scripture is over 2,000 years old, the scripture still is applicable or applies to today. And that's because man is the same old man. Man has the same old tendencies. He gets going down the wrong track, doing the wrong thing. And we have to have that constant word of God. That word of God is constant in our lives. And so it keeps revealing man and trying to teach man and trying to show man the better way. And the Bible teaches us that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. Sheila G.
Amen. It just makes me think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the key is believing in him. And he's showing us in today's world how you can be blessed and how you can come through and have light by believing in him versus those who are not believers but are believers in man.
Amen. And you have to have a solid foundation, that root belief, because if not, the things that are going on day to day will overwhelm you.
Right.
But if you have that foundation, and you're rooted and grounded in God, you can weather the storm. And you know, I was looking at just the trees and how the dark clouds came in this evening, and how if you were on any type of network, whether radio or internet, the TV, how the local broadcasters would come on and they would talk about the storms and the tornadoes and the lightning strikes and all these things. And it's like an onslaught. But if you have a peace of God and you have a connection with God and a prayer connection with God, that in the midst of the storm, you still can be calm. You can still have a peace. You can talk to God and say, God, watch over my family, watch over my house, watch over my children, watch over, you know, our church family and those that are on the road. And you can still have that peace that God is still in control, even in the midst of the storm. And that's the good news. And Dr. G, the thing that I like about God is that he will encourage you no matter what the situation is. You have the word of God, and everyone loves that 23rd Psalm, you know, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And, you know, the 27th Psalm says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That even when the wicked, even my enemies, come upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumble and fail. The host should encamp against me, and this will I be confident. And so, you know, the scripture teaches us that we're not exempt from the storms, we're not exempt from the trials, but we can draw in the good news that God says that he's going to be with us in the midst of the storms of life and the trials and the tribulations. Dr. G.
You're right, and the last part of that 27th Psalm, the part that I like, it says, you've got to wait on the Lord, and that's the thing. We have to learn how to be patient. You know, stuff comes into our life, and especially during this day and time. I tell people that the thing that keeps me going is my faith and my trust and my belief in the Lord. But even in the midst of everything that we're going through, you still got to learn how to wait on God. And I feel for those folk that are just taking advantage of the time to do other things without really acknowledging the Lord and the fact that they need
him. Amen, amen. That's powerful. You know, just not taking the time to acknowledging God. When we were left off on last week, Sheila G, we didn't have time to go to our callers, and so we're going to finish out these last seven, eight verses, and we're going to go to the callers. But one of the things we had talked about. We talked about how people were believing the lie of Satan instead of the truth of God, and how in believing the lie of Satan is a setup, and it's a setup to destroy people, because the Bible teaches that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that he roams to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. And in other words, he does not have your best interest, to say it mildly, at heart. But he's a deceiver. He's a deceptor. The book of Genesis said he was more subtle than any beast of the field. So he uses deception. He uses subtlety to play on our emotions, play on our fears, play on our ignorance, to get us to follow him instead of following God. And, you know, like Dr. G was saying, we got to learn to wait on the Lord, because what happens is the enemy will come in and try to plant seeds of doubt and fear. And, you know, if God loved you, just like he attacked Satan, I'm sorry, we attacked Jesus when he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness before he started his earthly ministry, and how he attacked him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus quoted the word of God and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so when you look at that tactic that the enemy uses, he tries to sow doubt, he tries to sow fear, he tries to sow impatience. You know, we don't want to wait on the Lord. And when we have fear, when we have doubt, when we have impatience, that's when we find ourselves getting in trouble, and we find ourselves doing the things that are contrary to God, and we find ourselves at odds with God, and ultimately odds with everyone that is around us. And so people live a life of not having peace. And when that peace leaves you, that leaves a type of unrest, a type of turmoil in your life, and you go about life trying to fulfill it, whether it's with drugs, alcohol, boyfriend, girlfriend. But the only place that, the only person that can feel that is God. The only peace that can subdue all of that is the peace of God. And that's the good news, that peace is available. That's the good news that Cornelius and Peter were proclaiming to their people, that this peace that will reconcile and bring man back into the right relationship with God and humankind or mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, when you were talking about how the devil is subtle, I think that's what one of the subtleties of him is, that we underestimate the power of Satan. He has power on this earth, and it even talks about it in the Bible. Like you said, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we think that in our own self that we can fight evil, we can fight the devil. And what happens is he does like that rope-a-dope thing, where before you know it, you're going down that path, that path of evilness, because you're trying to fight him in the flesh. And in the flesh, we cannot fight the devil. We can only fight because he has power, but Christ, the Holy Spirit, has power and authority. But if we don't tap into that source, we can't have peace. Therefore, we can't have power over Satan, because we're trying to do it in our flesh and in our own right. And when we recognize that and we don't underestimate Satan, when we say that, you know what, I know the devil's going to come after me, and I know he's going to come after me more, because the closer I get to God, but the closer I get to God, the more weapons that I'm going to have to push against him. You were just talking about Psalm 23, and in there it says, yea, though I walk through in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So it's acknowledging that there's shadows, there's death, there's valley, and there's valleys, there's evil that will cause you to be afraid and bring you down, but I don't have to fear it if I trust in God. Because it's not that I don't fear it because I'm so big and bad. No, I don't have to fear it because thou art with me, because I believe in Jesus. I have the faith that it hurts, It's painful. I'm going through. And Satan, yeah, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, it's bothering me. I may be unhappy, but I have peace and I have joy because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if I trust in him, he'll give me the peace to get through. But we have to acknowledge evil when we see it. And, you know, even to apply it to today, you know, back in 2016 when people either didn't vote or voted for number 45 in there, you saw that one party that just took it for granted. Oh, we won. We got the power now. And then it got out of control because evil just over. You saw the racism of the people coming out from under the rocks, the social injustice, the brutality, all of that evilness just started coming up because they took for granted that as man, they can handle this man. And God stepped back and said, okay, you think you can do this in your own power? Because even the evangelical community jumped on it, right? Oh, well, he's just a man. You can just forgive, you know, we all sin and come short, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
we just want to get the Supreme Court in there to fight abortion. So you just forget all about God's commandments, what God wants you to do. And that was the subtlety of Satan.
Yeah.
And look at us today. He subtly manipulated those minds. So now all of a sudden you see the Republicans can't say they're not saying anything bad, but they're not saying anything good. They're just sitting quiet, dumbfounded, because the soul of America is just like been shot because they were trying to fight Satan in their own right and forgot that, no, we can't fight the devil in our own right. We can only fight him if we're being led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And Jesus taught when they tried to tell Jesus that he was an advocate of Beelzebub. And he told them, you know, a house divided can't stand. And so how can the devil fight against the devil? You know, it's a thing of, you know, you can't expect the enemy is going to turn on himself for your righteousness. He's not going to turn on himself for your righteousness. He's going to turn.
Right.
He's going to keep doing his thing.
That's right.
And for people to think that, you know, he's going to work that thing out for their benefit is not reality.
Right.
It's rooted in selfishness, which plays into the hand of the enemy. And,
that's right.
We have to call it out and use the word of God to call it out. And so back to this Acts 10 and in that verse 42, Acts 10, and I'm reading the NIV, so he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So as Peter and Cornelius are getting the word of God and saying that they can't judge anyone, that Jesus is the judge between the living and the dead. And that verse 43 says that all the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes and receives forgiveness of sin through his name. In other words, this is the common denominator that's going to bring the Jews together, the Gentiles together, that Jesus is the righteous judge. He's the one that all the prophets talked about. And so the message he sent to Peter, the message he sent to Cornelius, is that God is not a respecter of person. And so this message and the big picture is what God wants to get out. And so the way he got it out was he got it out through speaking through Peter and speaking through the Gentiles. And so now what he's trying to do is bring these two groups together so that they can speak the message to the people that they are involved in. In other words, the Gentile community, the Jewish community. Peter would speak to the Jewish community. Cornelius would speak to those that are closest to the Gentile community. But they'll be on the same page with the word of God, is that Jesus is the righteous judge between the living and the dead. And that this is the message that all the prophets spoke. And so the catalyst, and if anybody knows about a car, it's a Cadillac converter, actually converts toxic gas that comes off of the exhaust of the engine into a different type of chemical. It breaks up the toxicity and breaks up to a chemical that's not as harmful to the environment. And so you have these catalytic converters. And so the catalyst in the spreading the word to every nation is the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, said on the day of Pentecost, or 50 days after Christ has been resurrected, the Holy Spirit came and it gave the people that were gathered in that region the ability to speak the same language to every nationality that was there. And so by them being able to do that, what happens was everyone heard that same message. Everyone was on one accord. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is it brings the believers in Christ on one accord. And Paul talks about that we were baptized into the body of Christ. We were all baptized into his death. We were all baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so what the Holy Spirit does is whatever the situation is needed, it gives the believers the ability to do it. In other words, he becomes the catalyst to be able to carry out this message. And so as the Holy Spirit carried out the message in when the church was birthed and everyone heard the same message in their own language, that was the same thing that Peter and Cornelius are going to experience. We're going to look at this rest of this verse, these verses in this chapter 10. They're going to experience the same thing. And what's going to happen is the Jews are going to see that that God has, through the Holy Spirit, pulled out his catalyst for them to be able to speak in that manner to who's ever in that nation or in that situation or in that region at the same time, the same message. And so they will see that truly God is not a respecter of person, because the same way the Holy Spirit gave men in that region to be able to speak to people in their own language when they received it, is the same way that the Holy Spirit is the catalyst that's going to allow the Gentiles to be able to speak to those that are in that region so they can receive it. And so this is the evidence to the Jews that the Gentiles have received the same Holy Spirit that they receive. And this is why it's important for us not to be respecter of person, because the same Jesus that saved you is the same Jesus that saved me. The same power that Jesus has given me is the same power that Jesus has given you. And so we have to acknowledge that. And we had talked about the advent of the female preacher a few weeks ago. The same Holy Spirit that has empowered her to preach the gospel is the same Holy Spirit that empowers men to preach the gospel. And so we have to look at the Holy Spirit as the catalyst to be able to carry out whatever the believer needs to do to be able to get God's message out. Dr. G, help me out with that.
Well, you're right. The Holy Spirit will do that. The thing that I find one of the problems is that once we accept Christ, it's almost as if we don't go any further. We don't do the things that it takes to grow in the body of Christ and to become, you know, more astute at understanding how the Holy Spirit works. You know, we don't study. Mm-hmm. We're not praying. You know, it's almost as if we get saved and then it stops. The mm-hmm. God's power is there. And, you know, I've heard mm-hmm. so many testimonies of how the Lord will work. You know, all you've got to do is be willing to open your mouth and speak. The Lord knows what he wants to say, and he'll put you in situations mm-hmm. where you mm-hmm. will have to open up and be a witness unto him. But again, it's not you doing it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if mm-hmm. we could ever understand that, you know, all of what we go through now, it's only by God's Spirit that everything that is transforming and happening, it's not by chance, but it's on purpose.
Amen, amen. Let's go back and see, as Peter is preaching this word in Acts 10, verse 44, And I'll be reading from the NIV. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And in verse 45, it says, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. But they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And so, it's like they can't believe that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles. It's like their thinking, their way of thinking had to change because they had this, I'm going to use it in today's vernacular, they had this sense of privilege. The sense of privilege that they were the ones that were chosen and that this was only available to them. And they thought that they were superior because of what God did. But that doesn't make them superior. It makes God superior because God showing them that it's His Holy Spirit that is the catalyst that makes them who they are. And so they were astonished, and God showed them that, yes, these people have a blessing just as good as the blessing that you have.
Right.
And you know, I look at it in today's vernacular, and sometimes people are astonished that people that they thought were one way, then they realize these people are just as intelligent, these people are just as smart, these people are just as loving, these people are just as giving, these people are just as friendly, these people are just as whatever as we are. In other words, we don't have the corner on the market on blessings that God has given. Shield G.
Amen. You know, as you were reading that and as you were talking about it, I actually wrote the note down that and even in this situation and even to this day, limit God. We want to bring God down to our level and our way of thinking. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. So how dare us say that He only has enough power to bless a certain race, bless a certain people, or bless a certain way? That's us putting limit on God. But God is unlimited. He's all powerful, so He can bless. And we'll bless those that believe in Him. And for us to say, well, no, He's only going to bless the, or, you know, privilege this, or He's only going to bless this person or that. No, His spirit, His way of thinking, being obedient to Him, is one God for all people. And for man to say that God is only going to bless these, this people this way, and this people is limiting the power of Spirit and the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's just, like I said, it's just so practical for today. It's like he said, they were astonished. And I'm sure you've experienced it, Dr. Z. I'm sure you've experienced it, Sheila Z, where you go in there and, you know, whether it's at work or whether it's through sports or whether it's through public speaking or teaching or whatever. And people, I've had people say, oh, wow, he writes really good. Oh wow, he speaks really well, or he's intelligent, or he's this. And it's like, in my mind, I'm saying, well, what am I supposed to be? It's like, I'm not supposed to speak well or be intelligent or whatever. What you know? And it's like they're astonished. Because I can write well, or I can speak well, or I can carry out something well. It's almost like they didn't believe that someone who looks like me could do these things. It's like they're astonished. It's like, yeah, God blesses us just as well as He blesses you. So, you know, get over the astonishment. It's Sheila G.
Actually, it's a Dr. G,
because
you had called him.
Well, you know, we've been talking, because I guess it must be this month it's 6 years that I've actually been with my company officially. But when I first started up there as a contractor, I mean, total years and over 20-some-odd years. And the director of HR sent me an email, included all of HR, you know, congratulating me for my six-year anniversary. And folks were sending me emails and asking me, well, 6 years, I seem like I've seen you more than that. And I had to break down, you know, the breakdown of how long I've been here, which way I went. I went through the Marriott temp services for a few years, then Host had their temp services, then I was contracted by Lanier, and then after 14 years, Host decided to pick me up. So I had to go through all of that to let folk know that, you know, I've been around a while. And it, it's the same thing, you know, with the Jews. You know, they didn't expect anybody else to get the Holy Spirit except them. And you know, you hit on it a little bit earlier. You know, they were, quote-unquote, the chosen ones, but they didn't know how to act. And the thing about it with them, you know, and so, you know, they didn't get the full picture of what God intended. And so here we are now, fast forward to the New Testament. The church is beginning. Here Jesus done come, did what he had to do. Holy Spirit then hit the Jews, hit the disciples. Now the Holy Spirit done come down and hit these Gentiles too. Bam! All of this is new. They weren't ready for all of that. But they got a awakening because, like we said, God is not a respecter of persons. And, you know, you were talking about women preachers. I forgot where I heard it. But for the longest time, that's all I kept hearing. God does not call women to preach. And in the back, I'm saying, show me that in the Word. You know, it doesn't say that. If anything, when you go back into the history books, women have been the backbone of the church. And so, and if that would have been the case, that would have made God a chauvinist. And, you know, as time has gone on, I've had to get that junk out of my church's mindset. Because this one chairman of the deacon board, you know, that was his thing. And they had gone as far as to, that was one of the questions, interviewing questions, what about women preachers? And but they changed to that, what about pastors? And I had to tell them, look, I don't know about women pastors. God calls who he will. But I do believe that the Lord can call a woman to preach. And they had to back up off of me. And again, when I look back at it now, that was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so, again, the catalyst, the Holy Spirit is the catalyst that God uses to be able to bring his plan into action for us human folk. So he's the catalyst. He's the one that's working God's plan in a way that we can understand it, so we can carry it out. We need that catalyst. We need that Holy Spirit to be able to understand us and be able to tailor individually and collectively God's plan to us, so we can carry it out without messing it up. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit in our life. Because if we don't we don't use the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding, we will go out on our own and mess it up. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because the manifestation of the flesh will get you going down the wrong way, going down the wrong road. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. So here in the end of this chapter, the Holy Spirit presented himself like to the Gentiles, like he presented himself to the Jews, Pentecost. So now the Jews are seeing the same Holy Spirit that they got is the same Holy Spirit that the Gentiles got. So God had to reveal that to them. Peter's going to catch some flack in verse 11, in chapter 11. He's going to catch some flack about this in chapter 11, but he's going to explain to them word by word, detail by detail, what happened, and then they're going to leave him alone. But we'll get to that next week. But here in verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 47, it says, "Surely," Peter said, "surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. In other words, that settled it. If the Jews were on the same level as the Gentiles, the same Holy Spirit that gave them the ability to speak to in other languages, other tongues, like they did on the day of Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit. So there's nothing that would allow us to be less than equal in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message that we have to get out today, that same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same body of Christ, been baptized into Christ. So no one on this earth should think more highly of themselves than they are, but they should esteem others more highly as them, and realize that this God that we serve is beyond our finite thinking. And they got to a place where they sat down together and they said, "All right, it's cool for the Jews and the Gentiles to sit down and break bread together." And you know, you have to go all over this world and realize that whatever nation or whatever continent you're on, whatever color you are, you know, God is in charge of this thing. And he says it's okay, it's okay. And we should be able to get along. We should be able to sit down and break bread together. We should be able to celebrate God's differences in this world, and fellowship and communion around his Holy Spirit. Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, bringing it around to the church, a lot of why God has allowed these things to happen over the last couple of years is because even within the church, the various churches, it had become competitive. You know, it was like you were saying, you know, well, who could be bishop? Who could be apostle? I saw somebody now that used to be a pastor. Now they got this big old church and everything, and then now they're called apostle something. And so even within the itself, it was like, well, this church has this many members and this one has that many members. And I remember Dad and Pastor Gregory said that when they would go to the Hampton Ministers Conference, they had this tree on campus called the Lion Tree. And it was where all these pastors would come together and they would lie about how many members they had and how much money they were getting and what anniversary gift their church gave them, and blah, 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 blah. But it's not about that. So God is like, look, everybody's on the same level. What I may have you in the ministry doing is not necessarily what I want. Maybe I just want you to be with a smaller congregation because there are people that need that. Maybe it's a bigger congregation because there are people that need that. But
there
it doesn't mean
go.
Better than the other. It's just God. It's one God using us for what he intended us to use us for. And we have to be servants. The people are not to serve leadership. Leadership is supposed to serve the people. And it had gotten too uppity, too glitzy, too I'm this and I'm that. And God's like, no, let me wake everybody up, because not only do we have the unbelievers acting up and not realizing that I love body, but we got some of these believers that are straddling the fence, that are lukewarm, talking about God, but it's all lip service. So even that competition within the church bodies themselves, God has had to settle things down now so that he can choose and reveal who is really serious for him. Because he like you said, he's not a respecter of person. He's not going to bless this church any more than this church. He's going to bless us according to our belief in him.
Amen. Amen. We definitely thank God for his word today. And we're going to get ready to go to the phone lines. And it's just powerful to see that whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, the Holy Spirit will empower you to carry out God's will. And that's the biggest thing, is for us to realize the Holy Spirit will empower us to carry out God's will. When we saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said the Spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, and he went and prayed, and you know, his inner circle disciples, they were sleeping, and you know, he had to rely on the Holy Spirit, and this is what the Book of Acts is teaching us today, and in our Bible study of the Book of Acts, is that we had to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Book of Acts is sometimes called the Book of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus had to rely on the Holy Spirit to help him to endure the cross. And so we have to learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit. And so we see the Jews here, we see the Gentiles, through Cornelius, the Jews, through Peter, relying on the Holy Spirit, coming together on one accord around the Holy Spirit, sitting down, breaking bread, and continuing on in ministry because they were obedient to the Spirit of God. And so that is the question that we're going to ask our callers tonight, is the time where you were obedient in spite of what the situation looked like, what the situation felt like. You were obedient, and you continued to trust God, had faith in God, and then God delivered you, and God brought you out. So how can I break that question down a little bit simpler? How can you explain a time where, in spite of the situation, you trusted God and God brought you out? And you know, that's just relying on the Holy Spirit, because you could turn to the flesh or you could turn to your ways, your thinking, but you did it God's way. And doing it God's way is when people are being led by the Holy Spirit and following their faith in God. And just ask the question that way, see if anyone wants to add, if you want to give people a chance to have their say tonight. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. You're on there. You on mute? Are you on mute? 6309. All right. We'll come back to that one. And go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I have had, like my adult life, the earlier part of my adult life, I had trials and tribulations in my life, and you go through so many things, and you try to handle them yourself. And when it all boils down, you realize you don't. You think you have the power. You think you know you can do certain things when it comes to your spiritual walk. But the bottom line is, in everything that you do in your life, God has the power to do everything in your life. That's a difference. That's a total difference. And when you can come to having that kind of relationship, that when things come into your life and you know for a fact that you can't do it on your own, you have to rely solely on God and the Holy Spirit. And you know who is the Holy Spirit. The trust and belief in your walk, in your life. And when you go through whatever the situation may be, is something that you can't even describe, because that's how deep walking in the Spirit is in your life. Because if you told people what you've gone through,
already,
how you resolved the situation, they're going to look at you like you're crazy, and the first thing they say, oh, you're lying. Don't even think about speaking in tongues. And we know that that's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And you want to frustrate the devil and get into a deep concentration of getting a blessing for the Lord. When you speak in tongues, I'm a living testimony. I've seen it happen. I've been in the atmosphere, in the churches, in different organizations where they relied solely on God, knowing that they were going to get the answer of the situation no matter how difficult it may be. The Holy Spirit brings you through.
Amen.
You know that. It's an assurance that only God gives to you, to know that you can come to Him through the Holy Spirit. And He does what He says He's going to do. You can't describe it. It's hard to describe. I was just talking to my daughter just the other night. The night the Holy Spirit walked in that hospital room with me.
Mm-hmm.
Pain was so severe, the medicine wouldn't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just lay there. I think, Pastor, you recorded the testimony that I gave, and I didn't even know you were recording it something was going on. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
It was like I remember I just submitted my soul to God. And I said, God, it's in your hands. And all of a sudden, just like the touch to comfort a little baby, just stayed in that room. I could feel it. I had no control
mm-hmm.
over it. I couldn't. To this day, all I remember is that soft touch. And I went into a deep sleep, and I didn't move until the next morning. Now, nobody can tell me that was not God and the Holy Spirit in that room with me that night.
Amen.
If you talk to Him and you know Him and you give it all to Him, I mean, you can't go half-stepping.
Mm-mm.
You got to know God for yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
You have to humble your heart. You have to be so submissive to God's word and what He wants of you. And nobody else can ease in. The devil or nobody can come in between you and God. He shows up, and the old saying goes, He shows out. And once that happens to you, you know for a fact that He's real. He lives, it lives in you, but you got to be in touch with God to get that kind of blessing. And it never leaves you. It never, ever leaves you. Just like my sister told me just this week, Vi, you better get on up. You ain't going to go to sleep. You know, we got to get our blessing. But where she was wrong, she should have been on the line with me.
All right.
I can't do it for her. That's stuff you got to do for yourself. I can't do it for you. You got to have it in your heart and the love of God in your soul. That's all I can tell you. It's just a personal relationship with God. It's an assurance that he gives you. And once you get it, don't ever let go of it. Don't ever let go of it. It's a beautiful experience, and you know he loves you, and you love him just as much, just as much. And I just thank God for you all. I thank God for the comfort and relief that this Bible study and God's word and the teaching of it that spills over every Thursday night into my spirit to let me know that there is a God.
Amen.
For real. And he's yours if you want it.
Amen.
Thank you all. And God bless every one of you. Everybody that's on this line, believe me, God is for real. I know
love.
He's real in my soul. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I enjoy this so much. I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. I talked to my grandma all the time, and we read the Bible all the time on at certain days we had, but we never talked about the Holy Spirit, and she had the Spirit all the time. But I've learned, coming up at this age, I've learned what the Holy Spirit all is. It travels with me, and I can tell when the devil has started working. He can step on my toe, and I get an ouch. Okay, so I know when he's working, and the good Lord just make my tongue keep still, and I don't say nothing. It's just like some of the things that I see in the street or neighbors that I got that got a hang up, and other problems I have with life. But God has brought me this far, and has brought me to give me the example of what I have to deal with the world we do today. When the Spirit hits me, I know when the Spirit has hit me. I feel so good that I have learned to be, like she just said a while ago, know God for yourself. And I know God for myself. So I don't have to apologize to anybody else. But anyway, but I know the Spirit. When I feel it, I shut my mouth. And he just works on with me. And I get my brain just laughing and giggling again. And I know what it is. I know exactly. Please, yes, Billy, I'm getting old. I ain't got older. He ain't getting older. I'm gotten older, and he hasn't brought me this far just to be laughing at me and don't know God for myself. But I know when he's hit me, I got it in my hand. I am not even worried about it. But these old environments and trying to shake up this old stuff that we deal with, I got myself. I'm not even worried about it. But anyway, thank you very much. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Could you just repeat the question one more time?
Yes, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and your faith and how you're knowing that he's in your life.
Yeah, I would definitely say for me, I've kind of experienced that as I was growing up and becoming a man. I think you start at some point in time, you get to a crossroad where you start to realize, like, hey, I'm not living the way that God intended me to. A lot of times I came across those things when I started kind of being more involved in the church and understanding that it wasn't just as a kid, okay, you know, Sunday morning you go to church, you don't really pay attention half the time, you just show up and go to church. But I think when things started to slow down for me and started to make sense for me, and I started to kind of go through a little things, normal things that, you know, kids and teenagers go through, I started to get to the point where I always came across like a fork in the road, like, hey, I know what the right thing to do is, but you got this peer pressure over here with your friends and your family and mm-hmm. wanted to do certain things. So early on, I definitely wasn't consistent in it. You know, depending on who it was easy for me to say no. But also depending on who it was, there was no way I was going to say no. I was going to go and follow along with my friends or my best friends, people who didn't really mean me no harm, but the actions and the things mm-hmm. that they were doing meant me harm. So after a while, you start to realize as you grow, you also start to grow apart. And then thirdly, you also start to grow closer to God. So I realized that as I grew closer to God, and again, things started to make sense to me, not only did I begin to grow up, I also began to grow apart from some of my friends who meant well, really didn't know what was going on or what they were doing. They were still doing the same stuff that we were doing years and years ago. And then I started realizing, like, man, this is not good for me. It's not good for them. But it's just like now I'm to the point where I'm not scared to stand alone by myself or to say no or, quote, unquote, be the party pooper because Brandon always doesn't want to hang out too late or want to do this or want to smoke or want to drink. But then, you know, it was tough mm-hmm. early on because, again, these are people you knew and you had relationship with your whole life. And generally they were good people, but it's just we all know good people make bad decisions. And then sometimes you're judged on the decisions you make. And I have no ill will towards any of them to this day, even though we haven't spoken in years. But when I look back mm-hmm. and realize that as they continue to do the same thing, they started to get in trouble. You know, they started to, you know, really get in some serious trouble with the authorities, financial problems, not being able to keep a job because you keep failing drug tests and testing dirty every time you go do a job. And I realized, mm-hmm. like, man, like, if it hadn't been for God speaking to me, but most importantly, me listening and acknowledging what God has done and what he's doing in my life, I would have easily ended up where those individuals ended up. But again, I had to get to a point where I had to realize, like, you know what? I may not understand it now, but that little voice inside of me, that spirit that's speaking to me saying, look, you know better. You just stay over here and just sit this one out. And trust me, it'll start to make sense, you know, in the long run. It may not make sense today. It may not make sense a year from now, but eventually you'll start to see, you know, that God really looked out for me and God really protected me from myself, you know, because it's like when you start getting peer pressure and you start really having to wrestle with your own thoughts, it's very tough. And again, I'm not consistent with them. I'm doing much better. But dealing and wrestling with your thoughts when you know what the right thing to do is and when you know what the wrong thing to do is, it is tough because then what we start to try to do is we start to try to justify, oh, it's just one time or this ain't really that big a deal. But it's like when you keep doing that over and over again, all it's going to take is for that one time your luck runs out and then you ultimately find yourself in a situation that you can't get out of. But I definitely think for me, again, it all started to make sense when I accepted God as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I also began to do my part. I began to apply the word. I began to study on my own. I began to ask questions. And I think a lot of times, too, we're scared to ask those tough questions. But it's like, look, you know, your parents are the only people you can ask questions to, because I get it. Sometimes as you get older, it's like you don't want to have those certain talks with your mom who may worry too much or your dad's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you try to find those people, those role models, those people that are in the church. If you got siblings, if you got anybody that has a relationship with God, those are the people that God put in our life to have those talks with. If you choose, like, hey, you know what, this ain't a mom and dad conversation. But then when I even started to gain more confidence and begin to level up, I started having those conversations with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that they were in the church and put us in the church because they understood. And then I started to realize, like, you know what, my dad was a kid at one point. He was a teenager. He was a young man. And then I started to find out stories and stuff that he went through and things he did. And then even my mom, you know, and I was like, wow, like all the time I just thought y'all were born as adults and didn't know half of what I went through. But they're like, listen, everything you went through, bro, we done been there, seen it, done it, know people. They telling me stories. I'm like, man, you used to roll like that? They're like, listen, let me tell you something, man. So you start to realize, like, you know, your parents aren't crazy. You know, your parents know what they're talking about because they've been there. And I know Pastor Gregory and Sister Gregory talk about it. It's like sometimes you got to just let your kids live life, and then they got to go out there and bump their head a couple of times and fall down a couple of times, and then they'll realize it. But the one thing that I always hear them say is that they put it in God's hand. And I know that today as I stand here and sit here on this night that God helped me. God was with me, even though all the time my parents weren't physically around. God was always watching me, and they knew it. And I think they knew eventually I would come around and God would allow me to come around to understand, like, hey, you know, I got a big responsibility and God has a purpose in my life. But, you know, once I realized that, I also started to take the approach of reaching out to younger people, people who've been in my situation, say, hey, look, I've been there, I've done that. You don't want to make that mistake, and try to be proactive and get involved, because I think you guys know in this day and age, you don't have too many male role models
right.
that young black men look up to that aren't playing the sport or aren't out here rapping or aren't out here in the streets doing God knows what, you know what I'm saying? And it's like some of those things as far as being an athlete and other stuff are cool, but it's like, look, that's a one in a million shot that you're
right.
going to
yep.
get. So you have to start preaching the education. You have to start talking about the word of God and getting people to understand, like, look, you can be famous and still be somebody who's actually applying things in life, actually making a difference without having to be on TV with 50,000 people cheering for you. You can be a doctor, a lawyer. You can be president of the United
mm-hmm.
States. You can do all these different things and still accomplish the task of saying, you know what, I did it through the will of God, through the power of God, through prayer, but also I did it the right way. And that's the most important part, that I don't want to ever be looking over my shoulder wondering how I got a certain place, knowing that I cut corners and robbed Peter to pay
right,
Paul, but
right.
I did it the right way and I did it God's way. But again, it's truly just a testament to show that the growth has taken place, but it didn't start to take place until I trusted God and trusted the Lord. And again, I still reach out to some of my friends from day to day, from time to time, just to see how they're doing. But as far as hanging out, going out, doing all that other stuff, I'll have no parts of it. And guess what? And they respect me. They even know not to ask,
mm-hmm.
hey, you want to
mm-hmm.
drink? Hey, you trying to go? Whatever. It's like, nah, bro, this is what time it is. It's Saturday night. I got to get ready. Go to church tomorrow. Hey, we got this Bible study line. I got to call in. I'm like, matter of
mm-hmm.
fact, why don't you all call in? Why don't, you know, and I started being the one to invite them to call in or come to church. I'm like, you know, it don't have to be one-sided. I'm like, look, y'all going to hang out, whatever. Okay, one of y'all get up at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and call in on the church line. So I still plant the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
I still plant the seeds. But again, I wasn't that person 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, God had to work in my life. God had to show me some things. And I had to be real with myself. And accept myself for who I was at the time and say, look, if I want to get from here to here, I got to put God first. That's the only way I'm going to move in that direction, is that God has got to be the head of my life. But definitely excellent question for the evening. But again, you know, in order for us to do things and be positive and be uplifting and be impactful in this world, we definitely have to put God first in all that we do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. And go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5904, 5904, you're on there. 5904. All right. They must be listening in. We're going to go back to 6309, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Had you called my number before?
Yeah.
I was here. I've been on the line, but I must have fell off because I'm taking this new antibiotic medicine, and I just fell off. And I woke up when Aunt Vi was speaking. But I was
okay.
on here for the whole time. You know, this is something I don't miss.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit.
You back on.
Thank you. Thank you, because I was just wondering. I was just going to call a pastor and say, I'm sorry, that medicine made me go to sleep. But anyway, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. I didn't quite hear the question, but I heard you repeat it to Minister Brandon. And the Holy Spirit changed me, changed my life. It'll talk to you. It'll tell you, just like Brandon just said. They'll say, "No, you know that's not right," and such and such. But they will keep. He will keep you where you need to be.
Amen.
As long as you trust and believe in the Lord, He will keep you. The Holy Spirit will keep you constantly the way you're supposed to go. And it's up to you if you listen and obey Him. You know, but you got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to obey Him. You got to be very attentive to listen. And know who's speaking to you. That's one of the things that God do when He changed your life, you know. Because the Holy Spirit, when He feel like He can dwell in you, He's going to come and dwell in you. He's going to be with you because He's not going to dwell in no
Amen.
Unclean mess. So, you know, and I just thank Him very much for leaving us that comforter, the Holy Spirit. But He changed my life. God changed my life. And when you are intentive to be with, to want to be in that change, to want to do the things that are right, and that you know who God is, and you know He loves you, you've seen the things that He can do, and you know how He changed your life, you will want to be in more tune. And the more in tune you get with that, the more that the Holy Spirit is going to be in your ear, you know?
Amen.
So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful that I got a chance, that I woke up and I could, you know, say what I wanted to say, because this Bible study line is very important to me. It's not nothing I just do because it's Thursday and I ain't got nothing else to do. I learn from this. Where y'all go through them scriptures, I learn, it's just teaching me, you know. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful
Amen.
To God, thankful to the Holy Spirit that he left us to lead, guide, and direct us. And like I said, it's up to us. You got to be into it. You got to want to do it. You know, you might fall asleep sometime, but that's okay. You get
that's
another chance
okay.
like I just did. And I thank
that's
you.
All right.
I'm taking this new medicine, and I just thank you so much for, I didn't hang up. When I heard Aunt Vi talking, I said, wait a minute, they calling on the caller. I said, Lord, I know they done called my number because I get on this phone way before 8 o'clock. So I won't have to be the last one. And I'm just so thankful. I appreciate you all. And as you see, this is God. This is what God would do for you. He knows what's in your heart. He knew that I wanted to
Amen.
Say something. I wanted to say something every Thursday because I used to wouldn't say nothing, no time. So God has did this for me. And I love this change. He's making me be more perceptible for him when he calls me home. He's teaching me, and I just love it. And I thank you again for calling my number again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to try 5904. 5904, are you with us? 5904. You on mute?
Yes. No, hello? I'm here. Good evening. Here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm sitting here meditating on what was being said. Yes, I do believe in the Holy Spirit, and I know that it's with me all the time. Sometimes it shows up when I least expect it, especially if I'm about to say something that I shouldn't be saying because I ask God to put a brow on my tongue because sometimes I speak without thinking. And it can lead into trouble or other things that I don't want. So I'm thankful for that, that when I walk out, I know that the Spirit is going to be with me and
Amen.
Control it in my mouth.
Amen. Bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank
too.
You for your comment tonight. Sheila G, you have some good comments tonight.
Yes.
I ask you for your final comment, and you can close out in prayer, please.
Yes, my final comment is basically what everyone else has said, that with the Holy Spirit, ask him to lead, guide, and direct your path. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Thursday Bible study, Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to break it down and to apply it to our lives and allow us to hear all the testimonies on the phone as well, Lord. Let us continue to be encouraged by your word. Help us stay focused on you and help us to lead God, to ask you to lead, guide, and direct our paths. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.